Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Praise the Lord. Man, you guys were worshiping the Lord. Praise God, man. Man, it is good to see everybody. Let's just a quick prayer. Father God, open up our hearts, Lord, but give us the faith and the trust to believe in your word and trust in your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, thank you guys for coming out tonight. Amazing people. I'm going to open up with an illustration real quick. It really don't even got nothing to do with this message, but I hope it speaks to somebody. It's a jar. I seen it and I'm like, man, that can be us walking with God sometimes. This guy, he got a mason jar, and he put a bunch of fleas in the jar. You might have seen this experiment. He put a bunch of fleas in the jar. And if you know anything about fleas, these fleas were jumping all over the place, right? They were jumping, it's hitting my beard. We're jumping everywhere. Fleas were just going. You ever walk by a grass yard and see those fleas? They're like everywhere. You're like, I'm not going that way. But then what he did, he put the jar, the lid on the jar. 3 days later, he comes back. It's just an experiment, not for the fleas, but for people. And then he puts it on, takes it off 3 days later, and guess what those fleas are doing? Not one flea was going higher than where the lid was. And he said what happened is they adapted to the environment. They stopped taking risks. They were following each other. Then what he did, he put two more fleas that was not caught up in their little culture or their environment, and guess what started happening? They started flying up and down, and guess what started happening? They all started flying up and down. I say that to say this. If you're not growing in Christ, if you're not growing in areas that God had put in your heart, you're probably in the wrong environment. I heard Pastor Ron say this one time. He said, if you've been serving God at least 1 year, there has to be growth. If that's you right now, if you're at a place where you're like, I haven't heard God in a long time. I don't feel like praying. I don't really feel like reading my Bible. I don't want to come to church. You're probably in the wrong environment. And you need to put yourself back into a place to grow and serve God. Because let me tell you, it's the best life to live. There's no other life to live but serving Jesus. I told my friend Tom and Chelsea back there, I go, I do the same ritual every time, Tom. I said, feel my heart is beating fast because God, I don't want to make a fool out of me and you. I need you to anoint me. Then I said, you know what, Lord, this is better than the mental hospital I was at, right? But I'm being honest, sometimes we gotta put ourselves in a place of growth, of a place of being stretched, in a place of being challenged. You ask yourself, am I in that environment? Am I just talking about past, well, when I used to fast or when I used to pray? Oh, I remember I used to go to every Bible study. Or I remember I used to serve. I get people that walk in here all the time and go, I remember I used to be an usher. What happened? I don't know. Who are you listening to? Because the Bible that I read challenges us. The Bible that I read and you read, if you're a Bible reader, should challenge you, should take you out of your comfort zone, should have you at a place of not walking on water, stepping off the boat and taking chances and risks. These past 2 months, I've done 4 funerals. And I don't know about you guys, when I go to a funeral or I'm doing a funeral, you know what it does? It reminds me I'm gonna die. It reminds me that I'm in that statistic. 1 in 1 people die, I'm in that statistic. It reminds me that one day I'm going to be there. And as a believer, it should encourage me to not be stagnant and do the work of Jesus. It should. Because all of us fall in that statistic. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, the Bible says. None of us. So I'm going to get to the chapter we've been doing verse by verse. And we're in Ephesians chapter 3, and an amazing chapter. Ephesians chapter 3, if we can go to verse 1. I want us to look at this. I really want us to take our mind to Apostle Paul, because he's the one that's writing these letters. Listen to this. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner. Back, keep it right there. I'm going to stay right there on the prisoner. Did you see how Paul opens up a letter? You don't have to raise your hand. Has anybody ever been incarcerated in here? Anybody? Okay, I have too, so I'm going to raise my hand. That's how I met Pastor Hector when I was a youth in juvenile hall. I met him there. Do you ever remember writing your letter? And I would write my dad, and it wasn't a happy letter. I'm like, Dad, please get the best lawyer. I want to get out of here. That was my writing. But do you ever remember being the receiver of that letter? How excited, isn't that happy? You're like, man, I can't, it's me. I hope they call, and then they don't call your name, and you're all sad and depressed, right? But when they call your name, some of you guys know what I'm talking about, and ladies, when they call your name, that letter, oh my God, it's like you just won the lottery, but you're in jail, right? You can't wait. And sometimes those letters don't encourage you, but a lot of times they are from friends or maybe your girlfriend or boyfriend. But it's getting that letter. So you see what Paul's saying? Paul's bold to say what he says. He goes, you know what? For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner. You don't want to know? Let me define what a prisoner is. Listen to what this definition is. A person who is bound, linked to, or captive of someone else or something. So that's what Paul's saying. He goes, hey, I'm a person who is bound. He's saying, I'm linked to or captive of someone else or something. So he's bound. He's got a strong, he's wording it. He's being bold enough to say, hey, I'm a prisoner. Let's go back to that verse. But listen to what he says. I'm a prisoner of what? Of Christ Jesus. Now, if he would have just said, I'm a prisoner of Caesar, what most of those prisoners were saying, oh, I'm a prisoner of the Roman soldiers. I'm just a prisoner because I've done something wrong. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to write an encouraging letter. You ever get that phone call and most of you just say, I don't want to talk to that person, I want to talk to that person. But then finally that one call, that one person that you know he's going to either, or she's going to encourage you or motivate you, or just there's going to be something different about that one call. I can imagine what these Gentiles in the book of Ephesians, when they got that letter from Paul. And he goes on to say this, listen, that I am a prisoner. He didn't stop there. Of Jesus Christ. Let me explain to you a little bit about Paul's life. I looked it up. Roman prison conditions when Paul was in prison. Listen to what it said. Paul was a prisoner. He was treated horribly. The prisons were filthy. They were underground. They were hot. They were dark. There were a lack of hygiene facilities. They were being tortured. If they even had food, it was horrible. They were bound together with chains and shackles. And Paul saying those words, speaking those words to those Gentiles in the book of Ephesians, you know what he was doing? He was trying to tell them something. He didn't start off with his letter, I, Paul, the prisoner, pray for me. I'm in a bad place. I'm in darkness, please. No, he goes, no, I am, with boldness, he goes, I am Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. So you know what it meant? He was free. Amen. Regardless of those chains, regardless of those darkness, he had light. Regardless if there was no food, he had the food of Jesus' words. Amen. The Bible makes it clear, whoever the Son sets free, they're free indeed. So he's sitting there saying, hold up, don't feel sorry for me, because there was rumors going around that some of those Gentile Christians were feeling bad for Paul. Oh, pray for Paul. He prayed for him, but Paul was like, no. I'm at a place where Christ wants me. Because if you guys think of it, if some of you Bible readers, we went through the book of Acts, if there was a story of Peter that was imprisoned, bound by chains, what did the Bible say? An angel was sent, right? Easy, took off the chains, even woke him up. Hey, he was getting a deal. Get out of here. So some of those Gentiles are probably discouraged. Why ain't God answering our prayers? But see, here's the thing that Paul knew. He knew his purpose. He knew he was at the best place at the best time being able to minister to all those other prisoners and those Roman soldiers and all those other people. Right now, some of you are in a place, you're like, Pastor, I didn't even want to come here. You don't even understand what I'm going. Let me tell you, if you feel like you're in bondage, if you feel like you're in prison in that dark place or that empty place, but if you're a prisoner of Christ Jesus, you should be shouting right now. You should be praising God right now. You should be thanking Jesus that he set you free. That's what you gotta get it within you. You got to see. So Paul said, you know what? I'm not going to write a sad letter. I'm going to write them a letter of encouragement. I'm going to write them a letter letting them know I might be bound in chains, but I'm set free by Jesus' blood. I might be starving right now, but guess what? By his word, I am full. That's what God expects from us. To come to a place to say, you know what, Lord? When we leave here, I might be imprisoned in some things. I might have some bondages in my life right now. I might have some areas that feel like a stronghold. But I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I'm bound to him. I'm linked to him. I'm serving him. It's not my ways, it's his ways. Have any of you ever just thought, if it's not most of the time some of our places that we're at that are dark is self-inflicted. But have you ever thought if it's not self-inflicted, God is trying to do something in your life? He wants to see if you're going to trust him. He wants to see where your faith is. He wants to see in the dark places of your life, could you still walk through these doors and say he's Jehovah Jireh? He wants to know. When you get that bad doctor's report, can you still praise Jesus? I got permission from one of my good friends. I call him one of my best friends, man. Mr. David, stand up, David Coleman. Stand up real quick. Stand up real quick. Just so everybody knows who you are. That's Mr. Coleman right there. Let me tell you, I got permission to share this story. I'm waiting for the men to come to Bible study. It's about a couple months ago, and I get a phone call, and it said TD. I call him TD Jakes. That's his nickname. And my phone, I said, oh, it's TD Jakes. And I even answered, like, what's up, Mr. Jakes? Come on. And it was his wife, Nancy. And she said, Pastor Al, I got to tell you something. Dave's in the store, but I know he probably won't tell you what I'm going to tell you, so I'm going to tell you. I said, what's that? We just left the doctor's office, and he's diagnosed with cancer. Prostate cancer. Right away, I got nervous. I'm like, oh, Lord. Okay, thank you, Nancy. So I'm sitting there pacing back and forth, waiting for Mr. Coleman to come into Bible study, thinking he's going to come in sad and depressed. And Pastor Al, get the prayer chain around me. Now, you know what he did? He comes walking in. Hey, Pastor Al. All happy and excited. Like, okay, did Nancy called me about this, David? He still didn't tell me, and I watched. I just stepped back and watched this man of God that's been serving Jesus for so long, and I watched him. You know what he did? We had Bible study. He encouraged those men. He was telling those men about Jesus. Then I brought it up about his cancer. I say that to say this. He could have left that doctor's office bound by cancer. Not a good thing. But he made a choice to be bound by Jesus, the healer, the one that can set him free. The one that can give him hope in a dark place and bring him light. That's some of you today. You're some of you right now, if you can just say, Jesus, I surrender all to you. I will surrender to you in these chains because I know you'll set me free. I surrender my finances. I surrender these kids, Lord. I surrender the way I speak, God. I surrender this heart. I surrender these feet, these hands, these eyes, these ears to you. These are yours, Jesus. I'm a prisoner of you, Lord, and I will serve you and do your will. Give God some praise in this place today. That's the Jesus we serve. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Let's get back to that verse. Well, look at that verse. For the reason I, Paul. And let me tell you what this is not. This ain't a message to be like, man, I need to be a Superman. No, we need to trust in his strength. When we're weak, he'll make us strong. If Mr. Coleman didn't have that foundation in Jesus, it might be in a different story. He might not be, I don't know, watch on Sunday who's locking up these doors and the last one to leave, Mr. Coleman with cancer. Watch who comes on the worship nights and is the last one locking all my doors and setting up the alarm, praising God, Mr. Coleman. Not because he's better or because he's trusting in the words in this Bible. May not be healed yet physically, but spiritually, he knows absent with the body, he'll be present with the Lord. He knows those kind of verses. You got to get those verses within you so you can start believing him and trusting in God. If not, guess what happens? We become this. We've become adapted to fear. We become adapted to hopelessness. We become adapted to what the doctor said. We become adapted to social media and the news and everybody that's trying to come against us. But when you become a prisoner of Christ Jesus, you're bound and yoked to him. His ways, His purpose, His direction in your life. And God has that for you. So Apostle Paul, he wasn't discouraged at all. He was actually rejoicing. He said, how could I write them an encouragement letter when I have an eight and so and so? Paul worded his experiences. He said he was shipwrecked. He was beaten. You name it. It would make some of our situations feel like we're in heaven right now. But he knew his Savior. He knew what the cross did in his life. Not what people are telling. It's okay to have, please have mentors. Have people that are mentoring you, believing in you, but don't forget to neglect this. This is all the answers of your life. This is the direction and purpose of your life today. For God to do something great in your life, this is it right here. He's no respecter of person. He died for us all. Then he goes on to say this. We'll stay right there. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you, Gentiles. See what he said? He says, so if Paul was up here right now, because unless you're a Jew here, we were Gentiles. We were non-Jews. We were in no kind of tradition, circumcision, none of that. So we were kind of, in the Bible, kind of looked down on. And he goes, for your sake, I went to prison. He was bold about it. He said, for you, they tried to stone me because of the gospel. It's because of you, Paul says, you Gentiles. Thank you guys for having an open heart and an open mind for the gospel. So he goes on to say, let's go to the next verse, please. Next verse, verse 2. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me, again, for you. So remember, you got to catch this. He's talking to Gentiles. We're going to get somewhere. Next verse, please. Listen to this. Next verse, verse 4. Verse 4. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight, listen to what, catch this, into the mystery of Christ. Now we're going to stay right there. We're going to stay right there. I put down what mystery means from the Bible. Some of you might be thinking the mystery, like you watch a mystery story. Some of you like drama, horror stories. Then you have the mystery stories that you never figure out nothing, right? Listen to this. I put a definition of mystery. Let's put that up there, please. Listen to this. Let's put that up there. Definition of mystery. I got it right here. See, I wrote it. Oh, here it is. Listen to this. Catch this. Something that was once concealed and now has been revealed. That's biblical mystery. Now, listen to what it says. In the New Testament, a mystery is something that can only be known by the divine revelation from God. I'm going to read that all over again. I pray in the name of Jesus, you get this. Something that was once concealed and now has been revealed. In the New Testament, a mystery is something that can only be known by the divine revelation of God. You hear that? Some of us right now never experienced God's love. Some of you are standing here right now so hopeless and never experienced God's hope. Some of you guys are sitting here never experienced Him as healer, as Jehovah Jireh. It's a mystery to you. Maybe somebody invited you, or maybe you've been coming forever, and you just said, God, it's like a mystery to me still. But he says, listen, he says, but you can only be revealed by my divine Holy Spirit, by Jesus. But a lot of us don't know. If you know the story of Paul back in Acts chapter 9, before he even became born again, we're going to go there real quick. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Listen to this. This is Paul. Let's go back a little bit. Listen to this. Meanwhile, Saul at the time, was still breathing out murders, threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found, listen to what he said, any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And he, near Damascus, on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Listen what Saul said. Who are you, Lord? Please, in the back, stay right there. Who are you, Lord? You know, you guys know Paul was a very intelligent man brought up in the Jewish traditions and scholars and a very influential man. And all he kept seeing what Jesus was doing in all these people's lives. He didn't like it. And he got permission from the high priest to persecute them and throw them in prison. He didn't even know who Jesus was. You know why he didn't know who Jesus was? He never had a divine revelation who Jesus was. And then listen to what he says. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Next verse. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. You know what happened right there? Paul had a revelation who Jesus was. Some of us today, Jesus is a mystery in your life because you never, ever gave him an opportunity to reveal anything to you. Because it's a whole new ballgame now. Jesus went to the cross for a reason. You know what that reason was? So you can be set free. So you can be healed. So those physical chains can be broken. Those addictions in your life can be broken, and it can be broken today. It's you that say, you know what, God, by faith, I'm going to trust you. By faith, God, reveal when you're coming up to this altar, reveal yourself to me. I don't want you to be a mystery to me no more. Divinely come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. Divinely speak to me, God. Divinely anoint these hands, anoint this voice so I can tell people about your goodness, Lord. Give God some praise. He revealed himself to Paul. The Apostle Paul became one of the most amazing, anointed men of God. Nothing held him back. No trial, no tribulation, nothing. If Paul came in here today, he would tell you, let Jesus reveal himself to you. Let not his amazing love, his love that none of us can even comprehend, don't miss out on it. His love never fails. I told you guys many times, some of you love people and then tomorrow you hate them. That's our carnal, fleshly love, but he still loves us. When he was getting on that cross and he was getting beat, Jesus, and those people were cursing him, he still died for them. That's the revelation. You want your life to change, you get that revelation. You get the revelation that there was really a person named Jesus Christ that came to this earth and died for you on a cross. That every time he was beat, he was beat for you. Every time he was spit on, he was spit on for you. Every time he was humiliated for you. Get a revelation of that and your life will change for Jesus. You won't be scared to tell people about Jesus. You won't be scared to pray for free people. You would be walking in here regardless what's going on in your life. Now, don't think we don't have bad days. I have bad days too. He's not saying that. But it's a trust issue. It's trusting in Jesus and his word. It's trusting in him when things are not going your way. It's getting fresh revelation from his word when you're still in a state of mind that you don't want to be. It's a revelation when he says, whoever the Son sets free, he's free indeed. But you still don't feel free, but you keep quoting that Bible verse and you keep asking God to give you a revelation on that verse. It's verses like my verse, 2 Timothy 1:7, when the Bible says God doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind, but you still don't have a sound mind, but you keep believing in it and you keep trusting in it. And every time you're worshiping God, you're like, God, you don't give a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. I'm never going to stop holding on to that. That's why he went to the cross. So you can trust in and believe in him. That's the revelation that some of us need today. You know when he reveals stuff to us? When we come to his feet, man. We don't just say, come to the altar. We want you in your mind, in your heart to say, no, God, if that's an altar, I want to be there. If these doors are open and I have an opportunity to raise my hand and worship the King of Kings, I'm going to do it, Lord. It's in a country club. This is a church. This is the house of God. This is a place where we can come together as a body of Christ and Jesus can reveal himself to us in worship, in the word, in fellowship. He wants to change some of your lives. Put some of your pride down and say, God, take me to that place, Lord. Then there's some of us on the mountaintop. You know what? Tell God to use you even mightier. That's the God we serve. Then he goes on to say in that verse 5, listen to this. Which was not made known to the people in other generations as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Next verse, please. Listen to this. This mystery is that though the gospel of the Gentiles are heirs together with, listen to what he says, with Israel, members together on one body and sharers together in the promises of Christ Jesus. Let me explain to you what just took place. You had this whole group of Gentiles looking at these Jews, feeling like they were outcasts. And the moment Paul got a revelation from the mystery of Christ and says, not no more. I died for all. You come as you are to this cross. Now he says there are heirs. You know what that means? One who inherits something or who entitled the future of inheritance. The Gentiles became equal with Israel, with the Jews, and all the blessings they were able to receive. And guess what that is? That's you today. God's not holding nothing back on you. He said, come to me, those that are heavy laden. Take my burden, I'll give you rest. He no more discriminate. He says, come, all you come to me. John 3:16 makes it clear, for so God so loved the world. So he revealed to those Gentiles, you're equal with everything. You get every single blessing. And you know what? Today, we are able to get every single blessing from God. Everything. It's up to us. Is that something we really want in our life? And I believe it is. I don't think most of you, we just came here on a hot Wednesday night just to hear Pastor Allen, the worship. And you came here to hear Jesus. You're here. Some of you need to hear Jesus. He wants to reveal himself to you. He don't want it to be a secret or a mystery no more. He's writing this letter of encouragement. If Paul was here, like I said, he would be encouraging you and motivating you to trust in him. I'm going to call that worship team back up. You're going to have an opportunity. And I believe in the name of Jesus that God is going to reveal some stuff to you today. The mystery that you might think God, he's going to share some stuff with you. We're going to call the prayer team up. We're going to open up the altars. But here it is. Just like Apostle Paul, he had that conversion with Christ Jesus. You know why? Because he didn't know who he was. If you don't know who Jesus is today, when we're worshiping the Lord, you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your Lord and your Savior. And he will reveal his love, his hope, his joy, his peace, his everything to your life. There is a song that was written. I'm just going to read a few words before we open up and worship. It's called Just Beheld by Casting Crowns. Listen to these words, what he says. Hold it all together, everybody. Needs you strong. But life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And when you're tired and fighting, chained by your control, there's a freedom in surrender. Lay it down and let it go. Let it go, guys. Quit allowing the burdens of life to wear you out. We're going to sing this song, Goodness of God, and I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. Everybody on their feet. I'm going to pray. I'm going to come back out and close it, but I'm going to pray right now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, reveal your love to these people today. Reveal your hope. Reveal your peace, Lord. Reveal your healing miracle power, God. Reveal to them, Lord, that they're valuable today, God. As we sing your goodness in your hope, your goodness in your healing, your goodness in just trusting in us to do your will, God. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you speak to us through this song in the name of Jesus. Let's worship the Lord.
Never fade.
Praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. Prayer team, please come up. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you revealed yourself to everyone in this place. Places where people were crying out to you, Lord. I pray, God, that you revealed your love, your hope, your joy, your peace, your healing power, God, to everybody in here today, God. Let us leave here regardless if we're on the mountaintop or we're in the darkest place in our life. As long as we know you, Lord, as long as we are prisoners for you, Lord, we are winners in your eyes, Lord, and we are champions. Give God some praise in this place. God bless you guys. Love you guys about it. Bye.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.